Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Well, we've got a great guest sitting in today, and we're all big fans, aren't we?
Yes, very.
Steven's all quiet. Just kidding. No.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you a story, Al, about our guest. I was online. This was several years ago. I was online, and this gentleman I was talking to was not. I was a 14-year-old girl online. He was not replying to my questions, and I was getting like, you know, I'm thinking to myself as a police officer, I don't have time. There are people out there that I can really talk to. So as a 14-year-old girl, I said, hey, man, look, if you're busy, I'll go somewhere else. And he came back. He said, no, sweetheart. No, don't go. I'm sorry. I was just watching To Catch a Predator. True story. True story.
Oh, man.
True story.
Yeah, I'm just afraid that this is a ruse to get me in a room with you and have a seat and give me some cookies and lemonade.
I've got some terrible news for you.
Yeah.
Love it.
So sitting in is Chris Hansen himself, the real Chris Hansen. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, you can tell we're doing okay.
Yeah.
Well,
survived CrimeCon okay?
Oh, it was a blast.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's a good place for people to meet. You know, people really get into it, and good exchange. Good to meet people, and people that are buying the books and seeing and listening to the shows. So we're quite thrilled to do it. Of course,
good.
Not me. Everybody on the team is, but not me. But you haven't shown up yet. We haven't seen you at CrimeCon, Chris.
I need to get there. I've been asked to go a couple times, and for one reason or another, scheduling, I've not been able to go. But I know a bunch of folks who do go, and a bunch of fans who, you know, follow my work. So I think next year I'll get down there. I'll make a point of it.
Okay, we're going to hold on to that. We've got it here right now, guys.
Right. On the record.
what's been going on in the Chris Hansen world? Now you were doing Crime Watch Daily. And now you've got the Hansen versus Predator, and that looks totally great. Like, so what are you doing with that series now? How can people tune in?
Well, we did a Hansen versus Predator, actually, that was part of Crime Watch Daily, and now what we've got going is a digital version of that, hansenversuspredators.com. So taking some material that people haven't seen before, and we're making it a full experience for people who are fans of that show and some of my other investigative reporting over the years. And we're getting ready to launch and get out in the field and do some new investigations. So that's very exciting. So if people are interested, they can check that out at Hansen versus Predators. And then we get to a YouTube channel as well. So we've got content up on there, and that's been going real well. And we've had both the YouTube channel and the website have been up just not quite a month, and they've been very successful. You know, there's some bugs and kinks that have to be worked out. We've got a nice team working on it, and it's all coming along. So now we're getting ready to get some new exclusive content. And then we're in talks with two or three networks on some new television shows that I'm excited about. It's busy, but a good busy.
With you doing it on YouTube, does that give you a lot more perimeter? You can actually show more and get more in detail?
Well, I think so. You know, one of the issues always with the television shows, both originally on To Catch a Predator and later on Hansen versus Predator on Crime Watch Daily, you know, you have to be sensitive to the audience. And I think in the digital world, while you still have to be sensitive, there is more latitude in terms of what you can show. You know, constantly I'm asked by people who follow the investigations, you know, what happens, you know, in between the clips they see. And so this is an opportunity both on the YouTube channel, Hansen versus Predators, and on the website, HansenVersusPredators.com, to show some of the uncut versions of these things as they play out. And it's really revealing, you know, even just sitting in the editing room putting these things together. I notice things that I didn't see when I was actually doing the investigations, how these guys walk in and try to take control of the room, how they, you know, time after time swoop in to try to get that hug from the onside decoy. And, and you really get a chance to get inside these guys' minds. And, you know, whether it's this franchise or, you know, Killer Instinct or Crime Watch Daily or Dateline or any of the other shows, you know, it's always been my theory that if you can get inside the mind of a criminal, any kind of predator, and hear the voice of the victim, well, you know, people are going to have a concrete takeaway that can help them prevent themselves from becoming a victim. And so, you know, all this stuff is pretty enlightening to me, and I've been, you know, at this for a long time, like you guys. So it's really, really fascinating, I think.
So what is the most memorable interaction that you've had in your catching predators life?
You know, that's fascinating. It's about a 100-way tie for first because they're all fascinating in their own ways. You know, you've got the guys who come in and they recognize you right away, and you say, "Well, how did you know that?" And they say, "Well, we watch the show all the time, and when I miss the episodes, I watch them online." And you have to think, "Geez, you know, didn't you ever think that maybe this was a sting operation too? That it was wrong to try to come over and meet a 13-year-old boy or girl for sex?" And it just doesn't register with them. And then you got the guys who are really a study in what these predators are all about and what drives them and how manipulative they are and the grooming process. You know, we had a guy in one of our investigations who really, you know, chastised the decoy online for talking about a relationship, an age-appropriate relationship she was going to have, according to the scenario, with a young man. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, really getting inside her head, or trying to, saying, "You can't do that, it'll ruin our relationship." Well, here's, a grown man talking to a child, you know, convincing her not to have an appropriate relationship so she's available for him. These guys, the logic is so twisted. The grooming is so aggressive that, you know, it really is a cautionary tale for parents and, you know, kids to say, look, this is what's out there. This is what can happen. And, you know, imagine this. When we started doing those investigations, we had decoys in chat rooms, AOL and Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, you know, the number of social media platforms has exploded to the point where, you know, there are countless opportunities for adults to approach children online in appropriate ways.
And directly, they can approach them on Facebook, Twitter, wherever they have a profile.
Well, yeah, or just some random chat site. Mm-hmm. We see it on Whisper and Kick and Badu and you know, these places that come and go or have different security settings at different times. It's even more the wild, wild west out there than it was when we did our very first investigation, 14 years ago.
I just released a book on human trafficking. And I just wonder if you've come across that.
Well, I tell you, that's a topic that we're working on right now for a big piece that's going to be on very soon on HansenVersusPredators.com, because it's going on more than anybody notices. And we've done stories in the past about human trafficking, and I sit on the boards of foundations that investigate this stuff, airline ambassadors and a couple others. And it goes on in every city every day, whether it's a big city or a small city, whether it's Los Angeles, Atlanta, whether it's Dayton, Ohio, it's happening. And when you consider how easy it is to do that, I mean, you can go on Craigslist, for instance, and order up a young woman like you're ordering a pizza from Domino's. It's insane. And at any given time, just on Craigslist, I don't mean to single them out as a bad company because they do cooperate widely with law enforcement, but at any given time worldwide, there are some 60 billion posts on Craigslist. And guess how many people there are on staff to monitor that?
Yeah, 3.
44.
Oh, wow.
It's ballpark, but it's right around that. So, the nature of these platforms is such that it's virtually impossible to monitor it in an effective way. So you're out there. So what happens? It's law enforcement. It's deterrence. It's awareness that we have to really push here.
Chris, for a period of time, I worked undercover, and we started this with me being a 14-year-old girl, and I will have to admit, I probably know more about High School Musical than any of self-respecting adult male should know. We started that as a solicitation profile as a 14-year-old girl, and I quickly found this migrating into child pornography by them wanting me to send and receive nude photos. And that led very quickly, I might add, to one gentleman. Actually, I had two profiles. I had another one that was a dad with a minor daughter. And this led very, very quickly to adults wanting to actually buy my daughter, not rent. They want to buy her and take her. What is this? What you find as well?
Absolutely. You take a look at the case of Austin Jones, who you're probably familiar with, a very popular singer who also was all over YouTube, had his own channel, and followed by a lot of young women, and it turns out that he was using his fame to get some of these girls to send him videos that were deemed pornographic, and ultimately he pleaded guilty. He's looking at a 10-year sentence as we speak. But it started out, if you're really a fan, you'll show me. How can I show you? Send me this, send me that, and he would describe in detail what he wanted to see in these videos, and even have the young woman say, "Oh, I'm only 14, do you like this?" And he basically made the case for the police and prosecutors to and the federal agents to go after him, and it was it was pretty ironclad, and it goes on more than people think, and what happens is you get this anonymity and this access and the addictive nature of what goes on in some of these rooms, and suddenly a vulnerable kid can be talked into sending something they shouldn't send, and when it's out there for good.
Do you think this is really kind of there seems to be so many of these cases, like you could set this predator shop up 24/7 all year long and have an endless amount of men going after children. Is this some sort of an issue we should be looking at psychologically?
Well, I think so, and I think this particular practice of psychiatry or psychology is not something a lot of people who study medicine go into. The experts, at least in my experience, seem to be somewhat few and far between. It's not like plastic surgery or neurosurgery some sort of a specialty that's glamorous or particularly lucrative. It's psychiatry, and it's spending time with problem men in prisons and finding things out. Like, for instance, the men who have nothing to lose, who speak honestly to psychiatrists, will say, okay, I got caught once, but this was the sixth, seventh, eighth time I did it. There was a direct correlation between the viewing of child pornography and offending and committing a sexual crime with a child. And all these things are not only difficult to study, but they're not the glamour sections of medicine. So you don't have a lot of this going on, and you combine that, and again, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I have no experience except, you know, staring in the eyes of criminals for 37 years as a journalist. But you know, in this society, we want a one-size-fits-all, lock them up forever. We want a therapy that works or a drug that works to cure them, and it just doesn't exist. These guys aren't all the same guys. There are offenders who are young, who are socially inept, who think, well, she may be 13 or 14 now, but in a few years it'll be legal. There are guys who would be doing this with or without the internet, you know, would be trying to get jobs as coaches and hang around the movie theaters and the malls. And then there are guys in between who, you know, have an attraction towards this, but probably wouldn't act upon it if it wasn't for the internet. And once again, the addictive nature of it, the anonymity of it, and the just the access 24/7. And people start saying things online that they wouldn't say face to face. They take pictures of doing things that they wouldn't do person to person, at least initially. And all of a sudden, it blurs this line of what's appropriate. And as such, you get people acting out in ways they wouldn't normally act out if it wasn't for the internet.
Right. Here in Surrey, BC, for example, we have a group called Surrey Creep Catchers, and they're
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're quite a vigilante group, and some of the videos we have online, they aggressively go after these guys. That they do essentially what you folks do, but their MO at the end of the day isn't quite as interesting as yours, because I think they're vigilantes and they're going to end up hurting somebody or even get hurt themselves.
Well, we have a very strict protocol when we do these investigations. I mean, not only is there a legitimate law enforcement agency doing a parallel investigation, which wasn't the way it started, by the way. The first couple of cases we did, the first couple of investigations we conducted, did not have law enforcement doing a parallel investigation. And after those two, we just felt it was unsatisfactory from a storytelling standpoint and socially irresponsible not to, you know, have that component to it. And so from then on, we did. But, you need checks and balances in place. You need to experience online decoys, you know, like you were saying, as a police officer, you know, there was a protocol. You know, our decoys just don't go out and say, hey, I'm a 13 or 14 year old with loose morals and I'm more mature than my age suggests. Please come have sex with me. You know, these are decoys who merely go into a chat room with a profile that is unmistakably underage and wait to be approached by men who then are the first to bring up the subject of a sexual encounter and commit the solicitation of a minor online, which constitutes a felony in most states. And that's how we go from there. And then, you know, it comes to the television part of it, where I confront, in most cases, the potential predator. And anybody can jump out of the bushes and beat somebody up verbally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the skill to it. The skill to it is to come out and say, okay, no matter what this person allegedly did or how bad this human being is, My job is not to beat them up. It's to conduct an interview that elicits information. And the reason why so many of these guys talk to me and don't, you know, talk to other people is because I'm genuinely curious to find out what was going in their minds that led them to the situation.
And
unless
comes...
you can draw them out, then it becomes more of a show and less, you know, informational and less journalistic of an endeavor.
Yeah, that comes through in your show. You're masterful at it, and that's what I love about it is you're there to dig in about why. Why is this person here? What's going on in their mind? What led them to this point?
Right. Look, there are unmistakably some moments that are darkly humorous.
Mm-hmm.
There are occasions where, you know, I really crack down on a guy when he's saying something that's so absolutely ridiculous that is beyond human belief. But I tell people all the time, it's like being an anesthesiologist, you know, without a medical license. You have to hover this person between, you know, a really bad place and a place where you're trying to get information. And it's not always easy. And some of these guys just don't crack. They don't talk. Some of them run away, you know. And then that's why we put a camera in the police interrogation room. And I learned, you know, from a lot of the police officers in the most recent investigation in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
A female officer was interviewing a guy who was arrested, and he had sent pictures of himself, pornographic pictures, to someone he thought was a 12-year-old girl. And she said to him, and I'll never forget this because it really – for whatever reason, hit home with me. She said, you know, that could be the first, probably is the first time that girl will be
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Exposed to the male anatomy, and is that an appropriate memory for her to have, and how will that impact her for the rest of her life? And right then I thought, you know what, she just got right to the heart of the issue here. You know, people think that this webcam stuff is harmless and it's consensual. Well, not if you're talking to somebody who says they're 12 years old. It's not
right.
You just introduced a whole new set of ideas and thoughts and problematic situations to this kid that they, you know, it's like being sexually assaulted, you know, virtually sexually assaulted.
Well, one of the things, too, I will say, a lot of people are still very surprised that these predators can be doctors and lawyers and people with good jobs. It's not just like sleazy people.
No, and that's the still continues to amaze me. I mean, we've had, you know, executives and teachers, we've had clergymen, you know, guys from all walks of life, and people ask me all the time, what do these guys have in common? I said the main thing they have in common is they don't stand out of a crowd. They could be the guy standing next to you at the grocery store or the dry cleaners on a Saturday morning. And that's the truth here. So it impacts people from all walks of life. I was just reading before we all got together for this conversation about a case in Genesee County, Michigan, north of Detroit. And again, people from all walks of life, all professions. There was one in New Jersey a little more than a month ago. There was a police officer who was caught in this. And so, it just somebody says, what surprised you most? And the answer, honestly, is every time I think I've seen it all, I see something else. And I guarantee you, when we go back out in not too long here to do another one, I'll be surprised by something else again.
Chris, now, and I'm sure you go out and speak about this.
Sure.
What I hear a lot of times is, and it's almost like it's the planets align and this is an ongoing thing, is, well, that'll never happen here. And I just want to shake my head that it can happen anywhere, and I'm sure you have the same message. It's just amazing, Chris, is the number of people that really think because of the neighborhood they live or the socioeconomic status that they have or the city or state where they live that they're immune to this. And literally no one is. Is that your idea as well?
I agree with you. No one is immune. You can protect your kids. You can have security safeguards on the computers. And people always say, well, what do you tell your kids? And, you know, my guys are grown now and actually in this business, two of them are. And but I say it's age appropriate. And it starts with, you know, if you don't know that person in real life, you shouldn't be talking to them in virtual life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who that person is. The guy who says he's a 14-year-old surfer dude from San Diego could be a 300-pound man sitting in his mother's basement surrounded by empty pizza boxes in nothing but his underwear.
Exactly.
You know? And that's true, you know, and that's the sort of thing that gets kids' attention, is to say, look, just because somebody says they're this doesn't mean that. And the guy who is a stranger on Thursday may not seem like a stranger after grooming a child Friday and Saturday for a meeting on Sunday, you know. And so anybody in any social platform is a potential target. I had a discussion a few years ago with one of my executive producers on Crime Watch Daily, and who said, you know, his teenage son was on a random app for chatting, and he said that he had not heard of it. He said, let me see that, and how does it work? And the boy shows him, and you know, without regard to male or female or age or sexual orientation, you just get on this thing, and anybody can pick up and have a conversation. And so he gets on the app, and who answers but a person who identifies themselves as a 42-year-old woman who just got out of the shower and was wearing nothing but a towel. Now, you know, do you want your 14-year-old exposed to that? And, you know, that app quickly went away, but apparently a lot of kids from that particular school were on it, and it's all harmless until it isn't.
Right.
Where did this come from for you? Like, how did you get involved in this type of investigation, and what is it that drove you to this?
Well, I've always, you know, done investigative reporting, and I always try to you know, get out in front of trends and topics and things. I happen to have been on a phone conversation with a buddy of mine who is a reporter in Detroit, where I'm from. In fact, he took my job at the NBC station where I left to go to NBC in New York. And he was telling me about this online watchdog group called Preferred to Justice. And they were active at the time doing decoy work and then merely exposing these people on their website. And I got to thinking that maybe if we could, you know, use their expertise as decoys and combine it with our ability to wire a house with hidden cameras and microphones, that it could be kind of compelling. Because, you know, if I go pitch a story saying, okay, I have two anecdotal interviews of kids who, you know, found harm by chatting with the wrong people online, and nothing else but video of, you know, fingers click-clacking away on a computer board, it's, you know, you can't make an hour of television out of that. So I figured if we could infiltrate this world and show what's happening and confront the predator, it could be pretty compelling. And sure enough, I pitched it and we went out and did it. And, you know, that's almost 15 years ago, and we've been at it ever since.
What would you like to see change in the justice system where it relates to this? Like, what have you seen during your predator investigations that maybe you'd like to see the law or something in the whole system change?
Well, I think the laws are in place, honestly. Everybody who, you know, gets caught, for the most part, at least what I'm seeing, it does some time. I mean, in the last investigation a few years ago, 11 guys surfaced in 3+ days, and they all were either found guilty or pleaded guilty. And they, you know, they pretty much all got time, you know, at least a year, and in some cases up to 3 years with suspended sentences after that. Some more because of the severity of what they did and their past and what they had planned for these children they were targeting. But the laws are on the books in virtually every state. And the police do crack down. But I think it's a situation where there's so much of this going on. And everybody asks, you know, how many online predators are active at any given time, and nobody really knows. I mean, there was a number years ago, and it became very controversial, and I was taken to task a little bit over using it, but I was merely quoting, you know, a law enforcement official saying that at any given time there could be as many as 50,000 online predators active. And it was a quote that I got from an attorney general in a southern state, and I asked a former FBI agent in the field if that was accurate, and he said probably on the low side. And anyway, it got into, you know, the predator culture to the point where the then attorney general of the United States used it in a speech, and all of a sudden, you know, they were tracking it back to me, and where did you get it? And I said, well, I heard it through law enforcement and confirmed it through law enforcement. But the reality is it's probably a lot more, you know, than anybody knows at any given time. And it just it's hard to detect. It's hard to get a handle on. You see law enforcement doing a sting, you know, once a month at least across the country. And then you see on a larger level these human trafficking stings every time there's a, you know, a major fight in Las Vegas, every time there's a World Series or a Super Bowl or even a political convention. You know, the FBI can go out and you'll see that they find, you know, hundreds if not thousands and thousands of young women trafficked to these locations and put up for sale on social communication websites. It's a phenomenon that really has to be battled in a grassroots way, and I think it's by education, exposure, creating awareness and a dialogue that didn't exist before, and we just can't stop. I mean, it's not all I do, but it's a part of the portfolio and one that I plan on continuing because it's that important.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. I think people don't realize how bad the trafficking is getting. And in the United States as well, not just you know.
Well, you know, we years ago did a story where we went undercover into these, you know, these brothels in Cambodia and saw American men and European men going there for sex with, you know, children as young as 5, 6 years old. and went on a mission to rescue some of them, and it was very successful. But the reality is, you know, you're seeing teenagers trafficked here in the United States. And it's not just an inner city thing, and there's a whole recruitment process. And right now, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I was having this conversation just yesterday. All these people, young women, middle-aged women alike, are telling stories about being at a grocery store or at a Walmart or being near a college campus and being approached by men who are following them, who are affiliated apparently with other men who are in the parking lot with a van, who are somehow trying to lure women into some sort of a trafficking situation. And, you know, how much of this is urban legend? You know, we've seen this phenomenon before. And how much of it is truth? I see these things, and whether it's on Facebook or you know, on Instagram or Twitter, it can't all be urban legend, because there are people speaking out with great specificity and seriousness. And I'm starting to string together a bunch of incidents from around the country and try to get to the bottom of it. And you know, is this just hyper awareness? Is it a misunderstanding? Or are all these cases an example of attempted human trafficking?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few. When we did research for the book, there was tons of people we talked to that had been in that situation. It's really surprising at some of the cases we've had. We even saw parents that would sell children.
There are multiple cases that the FBI has done in Homeland Security as well. People get online and they're talking to, you know, somebody's parent. I'm affiliated with a woman who runs a safe house and a rescue system, who is herself the victim of human trafficking and tries to rescue current victims of human trafficking. And these are the women forced to work in brothels and sometimes in the parlors in and around New York. And it's amazing how they get lured into this and then trapped in it for, you know, a period of months or years until they're kicked to the side of the road and they've got no life and they've lost their family relationships. And it's a true American tragedy.
So what do you got planned up next? Like, you're going to continue this, and what other things can you talk about?
Well, we're going to continue this. We really want to do some things in human trafficking. We also want to do some more delving into digital crime, whether it's financial, romantic, scam-type things. And then, you know, I really want to do something that takes the crime reporting into a new level, something that akin to an equalizer type theory, where, you know, people can reach out to me and say, okay, this is something, this is an issue that's impacting me right now. I'm not alone. How can we obtain some justice here? And I'm not talking about vigilantism, but I'm talking about digging into a topic in the way, you know, my team does, and exposing these things, once again, creating awareness and a dialogue that didn't exist before. And I think, you know, as much as, you know, TV is mainly what I do for a living, I think this, you know, being able to do it on a digital platform where folks can tune in and watch it from their, you know, their mobile devices is kind of the way the industry is going. I mean, I know it is for, you know, my 27 and 25-year-old. I mean, if they can't get it, you know, on Netflix or on their phone, they're not watching it, you know.
It's
kind of where everything's going. So it's a little bit of a new world, and we're figuring out as we move along. And again, I'm not, you know, we're going to do TV for many years to come, God willing, but I think this digital component is going to be a very vital part of it moving forward.
So you're going to be doing a podcast too, or you started doing one?
Yeah, we're working on that. There are a couple different podcasts out there in the works. I'm going to do one. I do a live YouTube Wednesday nights at 8. Sometimes we shift the time around. I did one last week. I was working on a couple new projects in Los Angeles, and ironically, one of the on-site decoys who worked with us on some of the investigations, who's now 30 years old, if you can believe it, it's how long we've been doing it, is, lives in Los Angeles, and Casey Morrow, and I had her on the live YouTube show on last Wednesday night, and people got a big kick out of it. So, but yeah, there's going to be we're going to have a podcast associated with the website coming up very soon. We've got the live YouTube, and then I'm in talks with two or three other entities regarding the another podcast that has to do with some really cool criminal cases, some Manhunter cases that we've got in the works. So, really, really interesting storytelling, and we've got some voices involved that really take us behind the scenes. So I'm excited about it. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, it sounds okay. And so your website is the best way to find you, I would imagine, and that would be
it is. So it's Hansen versus Predators with an S.com, and then the YouTube channel is Hansen versus Predators. Twitter is at Chris Hansen. Instagram is official Chris Hansen, and Facebook is just Chris Hansen. I'm hard to miss out there. Yeah. I get everywhere.
So many places now. So
sometimes I even forget where I am.
Yeah, I constantly do. Oh, well, this has been a pleasure, and like I said, we're all big fans, and you've had a lot of influence on people like us, and we're out there doing it. So
thank you for having me on. And you know, it takes a village to do this kind of thing, and I certainly don't own it or have any exclusive rights to it. But I think the more we all challenge ourselves to go out and do, you know, this kind of enterprise reporting, I just think the more education, and again, it comes out to that and dialogue and creating a dialogue that didn't exist before. And, you know, if I've got to put up with the have a seat jokes for the rest of my life, and I've read the transcripts and what are you thinking? I tell you, it's interesting, just as a parting note, you know, again, you know, we've been at this since, you know, going on 15 years, and it's actually a small part of, you know, my portfolio in terms of enterprise reporting, but it's obviously the one that's become the most iconic the one I get stopped for in the streets most. But, you know, my kids took it for granted that I was on television because it was just Dad's job until they did a spoof on me on South Park. Then I became very cool. But almost a half generation later, kids in high school are still talking about it, are still watching it, whether it's on YouTube or whether they're looking forward to new episodes. And it's almost transcended a generation, you know, which it's kind of interesting when you think about it. But I think what it speaks to overall is that, you know, good storytelling with enterprising techniques and really getting inside of a crime or a situation to watch it happen, taking people to places they wouldn't normally see and hearing things they wouldn't normally hear. At the end of the day, that's our job, and that's what we should be doing. And so I'm gonna plan on doing that for a long time to come.
Yeah. Well, and it does have its impact. I mean, you've been doing it, and well before I wrote anything. Now I have 14 books out, and I'm
good for you. That's
on the
awesome
show, and Mike does his, and Steve's been doing his, and it has an impact that you don't realize within, you know, your own job, I think. And I think that's the important thing.
Well, I think so. And again, I think, you know, having, you know, relationships with guys like, you know, you guys, and where you get a chance to exchange ideas and put them out there for people to consume, you know, that's what we're all about.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a great time to meet an old school gangsta, a true crime guy such as yourself. I really appreciate it.
You know, my pleasure. It was a treat.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.